I was thinking this week of what we should speak about, and the subject of death has been very prevalent, hasn't it, in the world in the last few weeks. We had the death of all those afflicted by the virus, and of course here in Singapore we're not immune to that situation, and then we had the death of this famous basketball star, Kobe Bryant, and his little daughter on the way home in the helicopter. A man who was worth, they say, a $1 billion and just 41 years of age. Big, strong, powerful individual. Had famous, beautiful family. Extremely wealthy. Extremely popular around the world, and living what he would have thought was his dream life. In a beautiful place to live in California, and flying home with all his plans and dreams and ambitions for not just him, but for his daughter. And yet in a moment of time, one of the most advanced nations on the earth, with a professional pilot, he lost everything in just a few minutes. And this is a reminder to us that life is very fragile, isn't it? When we hear of the young woman who passed away just a few weeks ago in Lucky Plaza, that speaks to us. And then we hear of these famous rich people, powerful people, also being taken out of the world in just a few moments. It also speaks to us. And then we see all these people dashing around in panic over this virus. Again, it should speak to us. Reminds me of the story of an old legend of the Persians, of a man who said that he spoke to the angel of death. He said to the angel of death, "Don't let me die until you send me a message. Give me warning." And the angel said, "Okay, I'll give you warning." The man went on and lived his life. And he began to enjoy life, made money, raised his family, began to live life the way most people live their lives. And then one day, as he got older, close to retirement, he said that he'd opened the door of his house, and who was standing there? The angel of death. And he said, "What are you doing here?" He says, "I'm here because your time is up." The man says, "But you and I had an agreement that you would send me a message before my death to give me time to prepare to die." Oh, the angel says, "I send you many messages. Old age, creaking body, your children growing up. I send you all these messages. The problem was you didn't pay any attention to them. You are so busy trying to get on with your life and enjoy your life that you didn't listen to the messengers that were sent by you. And now there's no time left. Now it's your turn to face death." Well, the Bible tells us in this Hebrews chapter 2 something about death, particularly the fear of death. Some have called death the king of all fears. I think there's a lot of truth in that. And it says in verse 14, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood," that's you and I, of humanity. We are God's children, his creation. And we have been given, made flesh and blood. It says, "He also himself likewise took part of the same." In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ also took on flesh and blood. Just like We have flesh and blood. Why? That through death, he, that's speaking of Jesus, might destroy him that had the power of death. Now, who is that person? Well, it tells us. That is the devil. Satan has this power in death. What is the power? Verse 15. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So there is this great fear, the writer to the Hebrews tells us, that Satan uses to terrify people, keeps us in bondage, the fear of death. And that's true, isn't it? Even if you go to places that are not Christian in the world, you discover there's all these superstitions, aren't there? And all these strange customs around death. And people don't make a joke of it. It's not a celebration. It's a time of soberness, fear, reflection. This word, death. So I just want to ask a few simple questions this afternoon. Number one, is the fear of death real? Of course, the answer to that, the Bible tells us, is yes. It's a real fear. It's a fear that is not some imaginary emotion, but it's something that's right at the heart of man, who we are. We have this intrinsic, instinctive fear of death. Maybe I'm talking to someone here today who's living right now with that fear. Maybe you haven't told anybody, but in your bed at night, when the voices of others fall silent, you think about this question. You maybe dread this question. Death, what is it? How is it going to affect me? Maybe as a child you didn't think about it. Maybe as a small child. But somewhere along the journey of life, maybe it was the death of a relative or a neighbor, you came across the realization of this terrible word, death. And it has struck fear in your heart. And you're living still with that fear. Well, the Bible says it's not an imaginary fear. It's a real fear. It's a fear that brings bondage. It terrifies people. You know, there are some people, they can't go to bed at night unless there's a light on. Maybe you're one of them. I have family members in my house. They can't go to bed. But I hate having lights on. But my children have to have lights on. And they complain if there's no light on. And if I switch the light off, in the middle of the night, they'll get up and switch it back on again. They're so afraid of the dark. And there are lots of people afraid of the dark because they're afraid they may die. Lots of people afraid to be by themselves. And they're always trying to fill the void in their life by surrounding themselves with people. And if they can't get people to talk to them, they get the telephone and call others, don't they? And if they can't get anybody on the phone, they put the radio on or the television on. All because they have this fear that if they're alone, they have to think about death and what's to come after. I had a friend and he grew up in Texas and his father was very old-fashioned. And the father would get him out of bed at 5 o'clock every morning. And even in the school holidays, his father would say, "Get out! Get out!" And he and his brothers and sisters would complain and say, "So early? Why so early?" And you know what his father said? His father said, "Listen, bed is a very unsafe place to be. 99% of the people who die in bed. Get up." Well, the fear of death is real. The Bible says it's real. And why is it so real? Because death isn't a possibility, it's a certainty. That's why it's so real. The famous preacher Stuart Briscoe was working in the United States, and as happens often, even here in Singapore, you get a knock to your door and you have these people selling things from house to house. Sometimes they sell insurance. And a young man came to his house to sell insurance, and he said to him, "I'd like to talk to you about some products I have." He said, "Okay, let's hear what you have to say." The man had his little spiel, you know, all the little things they like to say. I was sitting downstairs before this service, and I was thinking about this message, and I was listening to the salespeople trying to draw in the tourists, and they tell all kinds of lies, don't they, to draw in the tourists. And there was these two Chinese guys, and they couldn't speak English very well, and they were saying, "Which country are you from?" to all the tourists. And I just sat there and listened, and one said, "Oh, we're from Scotland." "Oh, my favorite country. My favorite country. My sister-in-law's from Scotland." Then another one came along from America, and they said, "Which country are you from?" They said, "America." They said, "Oh, our favorite country. You know, our favorite country, America." They got all the little cliches they roll out. And this insurance agent who came to Stuart Briscoe's door, he decided to try and give his little sales patter. And he said to Mr. Briscoe, "Mr. Briscoe," he said, "I think I have some very good insurance products. If anything should happen to you, they'll help take care of your family." Stuart Briscoe said to him, "Sir, you've offended me." I says, "What? Offended you? Why?" He says, "You've offended me because you haven't really told the truth. You said, if something should happen to me." That's not true, is it? He says, it's not if, it's when something should happen to me. Death is not a possibility, it's a certainty. That's why people are afraid of it. And that's why you should have a respect for it. Of course, there's a way to overcome the fear of it, but you should at least have a respect for it and a knowledge of it. Now, why do people fear death? There's another question to ask. Why are people so afraid of it? Why is it the king of fears? Well, the problem with death is this, is that it's a certainty that we know comes our way. But there's nobody who's gone the other side and come back to tell us about it. You know, if you have made a decision that you would like to migrate from Philippines or Singapore to the United States or to Canada, and you're thinking about that, there's a fear, isn't there, of going? There's a fear of, I don't know what's on the other side. Where will I live? Who will I meet there? Will I get even a job there? What happens if something happens to me there? Who will take care of me? There's all these fears. However, if you have a relative who has already gone there, migrated there, maybe a sibling, a brother or a sister, and they phone you up and they say, "Come to where I live in Chicago or California or Toronto, and you can stay at my house, and I'll pick you up at the airport. And by the way, I have a job for you. I know exactly where you can get work, and I know a place that you can live. I've already done all this. You just copy what I've done." Do you think that would make your mind feel much easier? Of course, wouldn't it? To meet somebody and to know somebody who's already gone ahead into the unknown and is able to tell you how to do it and guide you through it. But the problem with death for us is this. We don't know anybody who's gone to the other side of eternity and come back, do we? We have no relatives. We say farewell to them, but they don't speak back to us. We say goodbye to them, but we don't see them again. Once they're gone, they're gone. And people fear all kinds of things about death. They fear particularly, I think, the unknown, the uncertainty. Where will they be? Who will they be with? What will they see after there? They can't control any of it. You know, even if you go to the doctor or to the dentist in Singapore, at least you kind of know what's happening, isn't that right? You know that it'll be painful to see the doctor or the dentist in terms of the injection, whatever they give you. But you also know it'll be painful afterwards when you have to pay for it. You get two pains. So you have a fair idea, don't you? But with death, you have no idea. You can't buy some advice. You can't buy a little preview. You can't hire someone to go with you, to guide you or take care of you. It's something you have to face alone. It's something that the things on earth can't help you with. Your money can't help you. Your talent, your personality, your intelligence. There's nothing you can do. You can't go to a class to study about it. You're completely alone and uncertain and helpless. And people are deeply afraid. They're afraid that when they leave this world, that everything they've left behind crumbles afterwards. The famous Emperor Napoleon ruled Europe as a mighty leader of nations and men. 500,000 French people died for him. But you know, as he got old, his star faded. And the British took him and put him in a little island called St. Helena, imprisoned effectively. And there his wife turned her back on him and ran off with another man. His son refused to contact him or anything to do with him. When he died, they just took his body and put it in a grave, and they just wrote across the grave two words, "Here lies." Here lies. Didn't even give him a name. That's Napoleon, the great Napoleon, the man who thought he was invincible, the man who stood at the Russian border with his army and his friend says, "Man proposes, but God disposes." Napoleon says, "No, no, 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 no. I propose and I dispose. I decide." Well, he learned that you can't do what you like. Only God is sovereign and in control. And Napoleon left this world in an unmarked grave. That's how he was left. What a tragedy. So famous, so powerful. Such a man of achievement. He ended up like that. And people fear that. And deep down, I think the greatest thing that the Bible says they fear is the fear of standing before God. The Bible says this: "It is appointed unto man once to die, comma." Or something else. "But after this, the judgment." You know, there's not just the appointment with death. There's the next appointment that comes after that. Meeting God. Facing God. Being dealt with by God. And people have a great fear of that. And Hebrews chapter 2 says, the devil is able to keep people in bondage over this. Fear over this. Have you ever noticed every week, people are going through all kinds of religious things to try and earn some brownie points, good points with God. Some go to the temple. Some go to the mosque. Some go to the church. Some go house to house giving out food to the poor. Some work in soup kitchens. Some become volunteers in local schools. I see them every morning there with their little red things, you know, outside the primary schools, waving them.
trying to do some little bit of good to earn favor with somebody. People are always trying to do things to say at the end of life, well, I did some good deeds. I pleased somebody. And Satan keeps people under this bondage that they know that after they die, they go somewhere. And they have to meet God. They have to face God. And people are doing all kinds of things to try and take away the fear of that. And the writer to the Hebrews tells us something very interesting. He tells us that the fear of death is real. He tells us that people fear death for a reason. They're under bondage. But then he tells us something interesting, and this is the last thing I want to say today is this. This is the best thing I'm going to say today. He tells us that there is a way for a man or a woman or a boy or a girl to escape the fear of death. There's a way to overcome the fear of death. And that way is not found in the church. The church has no magic power. It's not like some of these fairy stories where there's a wizard with a magic wand that can say, abracadabra, whew, all your fear's gone. There's no Harry Potter in the Church of Jesus Christ. The church can't help take away the fear of death. You can't do it. If you could, you would, but you can't. Some people try to do it by just denying it. Say, oh, I don't believe it. I'm not going to think about it. And it's almost, they're like a person who's in the middle of an earthquake, and they close their eyes and put their fingers in their ears and say, if I just close my eyes, keep my fingers in the ear, it won't affect me. But the earthquake keeps going, all right? Whether you see it, refuse, accept it, or don't accept it, it's still going to happen. So how is it that you can escape the fear of death? Well, here's what the writer to the Hebrews says. I think it's the Apostle Paul wrote this book. It says in verse 14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. In other words, for as much then as you and I are humans, we have these human fears, particularly this fear of death. What's God going to do about it? It says, he also, speaking of Jesus Christ, himself. He made a decision. This is not something he was forced to do. The Lord Jesus Christ decided to help you and I overcome the fear of death. And this is what he did. He also himself, likewise, same as us, took part of the same. So he took on the same physical body that you and I have, flesh and blood. He became a human. God and man joined together in the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. He took on human flesh and blood that through death, what death is this? His death. The Lord Jesus Christ's death. Through his death, on the cross and his resurrection from the tomb on the third day, he, speaking of Jesus, might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. Jesus Christ rose from the grave to conquer the power of death, to conquer the fear of death, to release you and I from that fear. We sung that hymn at the 10 o'clock service. Some of you were there and will remember it. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, what is his next bit? All fear is gone. Because he died and rose again, you no longer have to fear a place called hell. You no longer have to fear God's judgment. You no longer have to fear what comes next after this life. In fact, death for you as a Christian is just a blessed release from the cares and difficulties of this life, the temptations you go through every day, the stresses and the strains. As you physically feel older and weaker, death is a blessed release. It's just the opening of one door and leaving one place and going through the door into the next place. That's what death is for the Christian. The Apostle Paul said this, "For me to live is Christ," to live the life of Christ. "To die is" what? "Gain." He says it's a gain to me. It's an advantage to leave this world. I'm not afraid of death, Paul says. It's gain. It's just the opening of the door to the next world. King David said in his famous psalm, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? "For thou art with me," he says. God is with me. I'm not afraid to leave this world because I'm going to a better world. Old Simeon, when he was in the temple and they brought the little baby Jesus to him, he says, "Lord, let now thy servant depart in peace." I'm ready to go. I've seen the Savior. I know him. My sins are forgiven. I have peace in my heart. My sins are all washed away. And I'm ready to go. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, just before he died, he preached a sermon when he was an old man in his ninth decade. And he preached, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." And after preaching that message, he went back to his house and he lay down. And just before he died, he said, "The best of all, God is with us. God is with us." And with those words, he went out into eternity. God's people should not fear death. The only people who are Christians who fear death are those who are not walking close enough with God, who are ashamed of their life. But those who are walking with God, they should have no fear. The penalty of death, the sting of death, has already been taken by Jesus Christ. You'll just be here for 1 second, and the next second you'll be waking up in the glory land forevermore. Free from sin, free from temptation, free from sorrow, free from suffering, free from decay, disease. That's death for the Christian. The end is not yet, and the best is yet to be. I think that's the motto, isn't it, of that school in Singapore, ACS school. They say the end, the best is yet to be. I see that on these cars in the car park when I park. All these ex-ACS people, they're very proud of their school. They put, "The best is yet to be." Well, I'm afraid it's not for ACS school. But it is for those from ACS school who know Jesus Christ. The best is yet to be. Because if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the best is yet to be. Let me wrap this up. Kobe Bryant left this world in a manner and a time he didn't choose, he didn't expect, and he didn't want. But he had to go. Had to go. It is appointed unto man, not by yourself. It is appointed unto man once to die. But after this, the judgment. And there's nothing on earth that can keep you here. When God says, your time is up. And I was reading Psalm 49 just this week. And here's what it says. Just listen to this. With this I close. Verse 6 of Psalm 49. It says, "They that trust in their wealth boast themselves in the multitude of their riches. None of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him." You can't buy your way into heaven. Doesn't matter how much you have. There's a lot of people trusting in their possessions, but the possessions can't get them anywhere with God. Reminds me of the very old solicitor, lawyer, who did all the wills for all the rich and the powerful people. Before he retired, he was walking through the village and a lady came to him and said, "Sir, you write all the wills for all the rich people and the powerful people in this area. What's the most someone's ever left behind in a will?" You know, people like to do that. What's the net worth? We have them in the newspaper, don't we? Who's the top 10 in Asia? Then Singapore, Philippines. And this lady asked this old man a question. "What's the most?" "Oh," he says, the old lawyer said this, "they all leave the same." He said, "What do you mean they all leave the same?" She said, "Everything." He said, "Everything. They all leave everything. They come in the world with nothing, and they go out the world with what? Nothing. All left behind." And the psalmist says, none of them, not one, can by any means redeem his brother. You know, there are people and they come to churches and they pay money for some minister or priest to pray for their relatives that are dead, and they give money for it. I'm sorry to say, it's a complete waste of money. No one, says here, nobody can give anything to redeem a person. Can't do it, whether they're alive or whether they're dead. You can't buy God. You can't write a big enough check to keep God happy. Says verse 8, "For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceases forever." And then this verse 12, and this is the last one. It says, "Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not." In other words, man, when he's at the top of the tree, when he's rich, powerful, famous, handsome, beautiful, it doesn't last. That's what the psalmist says. Man, when he seems to be so strong and so powerful and so attractive, invincible, he always has what? Old Achilles has what? The Achilles heel. It's always a weakness. Maybe you're here this afternoon. Time is gone. Maybe you're clinging on to something. Maybe you're afraid of death. If you're not a Christian, you should be afraid. You really should be afraid. But if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, there's no need to be afraid. God doesn't guarantee us a smooth journey, as someone once put it. But he guarantees us a happy landing. There'll be a few ups and bumps on the road to heaven. There'll be a little bit of turbulence here and there. But every one of God's children will arrive safely on the other side. That's why there's no reason to fear. Because he's already taken. He's already breaking the power of death, the penalty of death, for you and for me, we can rejoice and say, I'll be absent from the body, but present with the Lord. I don't know, as I look across this group, who'll be here next week. You don't know. I may not be here. Christian might be preaching. He's getting worried now. We just don't know. No one knows what the day will bring forth. But thank God, God knows. And if you know Jesus Christ, you know this. If you're not here, you'll be over there. But if you don't know him, that's your problem. You will fear death, and you should fear death. Because after death comes the judgment. Get ready. Be ready to meet the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for this thy word. We thank thee that Jesus Christ broke the power and the penalty of death for us. He destroyed the power of the devil by becoming our substitute, the one who took our penalty, the one who took our punishment. We thank thee that the Bible says, because he lives, we will live. And he gives unto his sheep eternal life, everlasting life. He that hath the Son hath life, promises the Bible. We thank thee for that joy as we face another week, an uncertain week for this world, but not an uncertain week for God. Give us thy grace to do our appointed tasks wherever you put us, in whatever place, in whatever situation. Help us just to be faithful until death. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.